So good to be in worship with you this morning. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information, check the appropriate boxes, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once you're done, once the last person is done, if you could send it back to where it got started today. And we do ask that first person, when that pew pad comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. Several items listed in your bulletin under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Reminder to our children, we are having children's time right down here, right after that first hymn. Also, regular schedule tonight and this week. Let's see. Come on up, Krista. I knew you had an announcement.
Today at 2:30, our grief support group meets. If you've never been, you are welcome to come. If you've been before, you're welcome to come back. And it can be anything that you're struggling with in the sense of a loss of a family member, friend. It could have been a long time ago, or it could be recent. But just wanted to be sure you know you're welcome to the conference room at 2:30. Also, College Parkers meet this week. 11:30, we're going to hear about the wonderful work of Samaritan Ministries. I mean, they are going great guns. So it will be exciting to hear about all that they're doing.
Krista, it's not on Wednesday, though.
It's on Thursday.
It's on Thursday. Always is.
It's always on Thursday. It is printed on Wednesday, isn't it? But anyway, please come on Thursday, 11:30, and bring a dish, and look forward to seeing you then. Thank you, Charles.
If you come on Wednesday, bring your own lunch. All right. Several other things that are listed there in your bulletin. I want you to make note of those. One that I will draw your attention to, 2 weeks from today, we're having our combined Fall Family Festival and Treat Street. We decided the last couple of years we've done two separate events a week apart. We decided to do one big event. We'll start with the inflatable games, and then we'll have a period of time when we have Treat Street doors. This is where Sunday school classes, mission groups, and the like take a door, decorate it. Give kids can come and get candy. They can play games. We've had 20 doors in the past. We would like to do 20 again this year. And so while some of the kids will be playing the inflatable games, some of the kids will be going through Treat Street. There will be a hot dog supper as well. That's free for everyone. So it's going to be a big night. 2 weeks from today, before until 7, if you're a Sunday school class or mission group or family or you just want to make a door, email me, call me here at the church, and I'll have all the instructions ready to go for that. Also, tomorrow night, softball team, the men's softball team at 6:30 at Washington Park, field number 2. We will have our tournament continues then. Let's see. Any others? Are we good? We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. Thank you so much for being a part of worship. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. We want you to just raise your hand right where you are, and these ushers will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find our letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this morning. Becky.
I want to take just a couple minutes to recognize our Sunday school teachers, and you have the list there in front of you, and we apologize we've left somebody off. There are about 70-something names on there, but we just want to let you know we do appreciate what you do. We do not take you for granted, and we want to give you, we have people that are going to give you a small token of appreciation from the Sunday School Council. First of all, a big thank you to Mary. She's our staff liaison for all the work she does. Donna Beeson, who is out of town, is the assistant Sunday school director. And now I'd like to recognize all the hall directors and department director. So if you please stand up, we have some young people who are going to bring you a special treat. Marla, you're one of the young people. Okay. Please stand up, hall directors. Jean, you're a hall director. Okay. We appreciate all you do and the leadership you provide over in your areas all the time. Thank you so much for what you do. I'd like now to ask the preschool teachers and the children's teachers to please stand. Come on, we're going to have to call you by name. Stand up, stand up. Thank you for all of the work you do each week, the Bible stories you prepare, the activities you prepare, the music you prepare, and just for loving our children, loving and caring for our children, all the way from our bed babies all the way through the sixth graders. And a lot of teaching is going on there, which is very obvious when these children come down here with Jeff every Sunday morning for children's time. Thank you for all that you do for our children, bed babies through sixth grade. And in your honor, we're going to give a donation to the backpack ministry of which our church is involved. Would the youth teachers please stand up? Thank you. Do we have a youth teacher? A lot of them were in, some of them in early service, but they do so much. We appreciate their guidance, their influence, the teaching they do during these difficult years. These are difficult years for Sunday school teachers. They're difficult years for school teachers. They're difficult years for parents, and especially difficult years for our teenagers. And we just appreciate and we're so grateful for the loving and capable teachers and leaders that we have working with our youth in all different areas of College Park. And we just thank them so much for how they lead our young people. And in their honor, we're giving a donation to the St. John Bible and Life Ministry that's in New York City. This is the soup kitchen that our youth worked with last spring in New York. And Jeff tells me they do a lot more than just be a soup kitchen ministry. Now would all the teachers of our adult classes please stand? Some of you are substitutes. Come on. Some of you are substitutes. Some of you teach a whole unit in different classes and departments. We have some in the balcony and a lot in the choir. Some of you teach Sunday school almost every Sunday. We appreciate your preparation, your study, the research you do for leading our adult classes every Sunday, and all the wonderful lessons you bring to our adults every Sunday. We do appreciate you. If we missed anybody on the list, if you're a Sunday school teacher, Andrew, yes. We're going to sit inside the balcony to get, yeah, there you go. Okay. He's got it. Okay. I'm just grateful at College Park that we have a lot of different Sunday school classes. And as new people come into our midst, I hope we will help them find the Sunday school class that fits them. Because as I said before, I cannot think of a better way to assimilate people into a church family than through small groups, and especially the Sunday school class. This is where we have our Bible study. This is where we... Here comes a teacher coming in. Come on, we need to give him a... This is where we have our Bible study. This is where we feel the support, the love, the care, and the encouragement from those people in our Sunday school class. And I just want to say that I feel like... I think that Sunday school is a vital part of College Park. And just so thankful for all you teachers and all that you do every week in leading those classes. Thank you.
Pray with me. Father, our words, our praise so often is unable to give you all the glory that you deserve. But Father, we're going to try this morning. With everything that we have, we're going to lift up your name. Because you are worthy. For how good that you are. How righteous you are. How loving and forgiving you are. We come to offer our very lives to you. May everything that's done in the sanctuary, in this place, be done to glorify your name and your name alone. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Invite the kids. Come on down. Crisscross applesauce right here in front of me. Right here. Come on, Jackson. You can sit down here, buddy. Anywhere is fine. Come on down. Does anybody know? Play-Doh! Yes! How many like to play with Play-Doh? Anybody? Anybody like to play with Play-Doh out there? Yeah, okay. Now, what do we do with Play-Doh? You make stuff, and you kind of put it in your hands, and you can make a blob. You can make another blob. You make a snake. Ooh, I don't even like Play-Doh snakes. What else can you make? A ball. I'm a good ball maker. Yeah. Okay. What else can you make? What else can you make, Rebecca? You can make a hot dog? Yeah. Okay. Is that a green hot dog? We shouldn't eat green hot dogs, should we? Okay, good. All right. What about, wait a minute. Oh, wait for it. It's three balls on top of each other.
Ooh, yeah.
Snowman!
Oh, a snowman! You can make a snowman. You can make an Olaf if you take the top off. That's exactly right for the Frozen fans out there. All right, good job. All right. But I have something really cool to tell you. Do you know what? Did you make you? Who made you? God did, just like this Play-Doh. You and me are kind of like this Play-Doh, that God shapes us and makes us into really cool people. The things that we like to do, the things that we're good at, He makes the hair on your head, the color that it is. He makes you how tall you are. God made you just like we play with Play-Doh. And He is still making you and me. He's making you grow tall. He's making you learn things. And He's getting you to meet other people so that you can show them how much God loves them. That's why we were made, is to show God how much we love Him and to show other people how much God loves them. So this week, I want you to think, I like how tall I am. I like the color of my hair. I like to play with my toys. And I like my friends and my family, because that's who God made us to be. Can you do that for me this week? Be thankful for what God is making in you. Because when I see you, I see God making something pretty cool. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much that you have made us. You're molding us, just like this Play-Doh. You are making us to be more like you. Thank you for how special you have made us. Help us to always remember how amazing we are to you, because you made us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job. You can go back to your seats now.
I'd just like to reiterate what Becky said
recognizing the Sunday school teachers. Sunday school is an extremely important, vital part of our church life. We study the Bible. We read the stories. We discuss things. We share. It's fellowship and education all rolled up into one. And I wanted to say this because I'm very afraid of her. If I don't say something about Sunday school, she scares me. So. Now, one other thing I want to share. What's your message? What's your message? Because we've all got one. God has given us a message to share with those. Like we said in Sunday school today, if we talk to someone who's not been involved in the church, doesn't understand Christianity, I serve Jesus Christ, God's Son, who died, was buried, and came back to life. Now, for those that do not have any kind of Christian background, they're going, what in the world are you talking about? So we have a personal message we share. One of the things that I'm so proud of, our youth leaders, our former youth leader, our present youth leader, they told the youth, you've got a story to tell, and you need to learn how to tell it. You've not got to learn how to say it, and we're going to put you in positions and give you opportunities to share it, whether it's at a Bible study, at a beach camping ground, on the streets of New York, at the bus station in Winston-Salem. Our youth are being the message. We have a message. We have an opportunity on a daily basis to share that. Let's pray. Lord, as Jeff said, you have formed us in your image. And we are also here on this earth to be your message. And there is a message for every single person in this room. We share when we have the opportunity to share. Give us the strength to share. Give us the strength to be that message. Lord, as we come to this time in our service where we return a portion of the mighty bounty you have given us, Lord, take these gifts and may they be used for your will. It's in thy name we pray. Amen.
As Kent has already made reference to, we do all have a message. We have a life message, and every life communicates a message. Now, if you're a believer, God is at work in your life, transforming your life, transforming you to communicate His message through your life. If you're not yet a believer, then God is at work leading you to Himself, drawing you toward Himself. Either way, He is writing a unique message on your life, a unique expression of His love and of His grace that's extended to you personally in whatever circumstance, in whatever context you may find yourself. So a message He expressed to you and through you, that is part of being the message. We're in the third week of our series entitled Be the Message, and I hope that you're having an opportunity to be a part of that in worship and small groups and other opportunities that we have on Wednesday nights to kind of express that. You see, in the bigger picture of things, our life message as believers in the gospel is the gospel that is read by others. So others see Christ in us, I hope. That is our goal. If you call yourself a Christian, a Christ one, literally, if you call yourself a Christ one, my prayer is that when others look at you, they see Christ. And in terms of intentionally becoming the message to other people, you need to know the unique expression of the gospel that God has written on the pages of your life. As Kent said, you know, we all have a story to tell. My story is going to be a little bit different from yours. Maybe a lot different than yours, you know, but each of us have our own story. And nothing is more exciting than when you discover your story, when you discover your purpose, the divine purpose for which you were created. And when you do that, your life communicates the gospel more clearly. Your life begins to take on what God wants to express through you. So to help you discover your purpose today, I want us to take a little journey today. I want us to go back to the time of the Old Testament prophets as they walked down the dusty roads, and in this particular story, walked down the dusty road to see the village potter. Our guide is a weather-beaten old prophet who's just known the agony of preaching to a very rebellious people. His name is Jeremiah. They called him the weeping prophet for good reason, because he wept for 40 years over the sins of the people of Israel, and he preached the message of truth and hope, and all he got in exchange from them was hatred, condemnation. It fell on deaf ears, the message did. And Jeremiah needed a word from God. He really needed to hear from God. He needed to know that there was a purpose in his pain. And maybe you're in that same boat. Maybe you're at a spot where you need to know that no problem can stop God's purpose for your life. You know, you need to know that there is a purpose in your pain. You need to know that there's no problem that you're facing that can stop God's purpose. And God told Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. I'm going to give you my message. I'm going to give you my message. So I want you to come with me down as we go down the trail and think about this gentleman who is worn out, exhausted emotionally, physically, spiritually as he approaches the potter's house. And we'll read from Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, and we'll read the first 10 verses together. But I challenge you, we're just going to read the first 10. This afternoon, take a little opportunity and keep reading on through the end of the chapter. Some good reading there. But verses 1 through 10 of Jeremiah chapter 18. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if that kingdom does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. So Jeremiah goes down to this potter's, and there God speaks to him in the context of the children of Israel, appropriately so. And this potter, this master craftsman molding the clay, fashions the clay into this beautiful vessel. And God speaks to Jeremiah just as he speaks to us today. And I think one of the first things that he would want us to learn from this is the position of God. The position of God. The most important principle maybe in discovering our purpose is to understand the position of God and our relative position to him. God is the potter. We are the clay. We're not the potter. Are we clear on that? We're not the potter. He is. We are the clay. He's fashioning a beautiful vessel. But we need to understand it's him. It is him. It's him that does the work. It is he that does the work. So see that there's no purpose in life if there's no God. Okay? No purpose in life if there is no God. If God is not who he is on the throne, then there's really no purpose in life. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people. The sheep of his pasture. Understand, God is real whether you believe in him or not. He's real. He's Lord whether you make him Lord of your life or not. He's still Lord. Even if you're an agnostic, even if you're an atheist, doesn't make God disappear. He's still God. And understand, if there's no God, there's no purpose. In verse 6 that we read, it said, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. God says, don't forget, I'm the potter, you're the clay. I have to recognize that he's the potter and he can do whatever he wants in my life. Now, why is that? He wants the best for us. I mean, we may have our thoughts, we may have our opinion about what our purpose in life is, but understand, God has the best for us. He desires absolutely the best for us because he's God. He's the one who's forming and fashioning me. But many times we want to switch position with it. Well, God, you're busy. You got all these people that you're trying to look out for. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take just a little bit of stress off of you. I'm going to form my own life from this point forward. I hope you appreciate it. If you can kind of give me your opinion as we go, that'd be helpful. I mean, now we don't, you know, I'm being a little bit ridiculous. We don't say that outright. But sometimes that's kind of our attitude if we're honest. If we're honest with ourselves, we want to switch places sometimes with God. We want to be the potter. Maybe we don't think God's doing a particularly good job at that point in our life, so we are going to take it from here. And we forget our roles. And as we forget our roles, it's good to read Isaiah 45:9. It says, what sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? Does the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? Underline in that phrase, if you've got your Bible open there, underline that first phrase, what sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator. I think that's probably enough said. He is Lord, whether you acknowledge him as such or not. And when we give him his rightful place, when we put him in his proper position and recognize that he is the potter and we are the clay, then we can get back up on that potter's wheel and allow him to mold us and to make us. And in doing so, we begin to discover the purpose of God. Look at verse 4. It says, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into what? Another pot. Yeah, another vessel. Shaping it as it seemed best to who? To him. As it seemed best to him. Didn't say as it seemed best to us. So the potter makes this vessel that pleases him. It seems best to him. The potter has in his mind a design of what a beautiful vessel he's going to make out of that ugly hunk of clay. And he's going to turn this into this marvelous vessel. He sees the purpose for why he's creating. And to discover your purpose, you have to acknowledge who God is. It starts with God. He desires a relationship with us. We are vessels, according to Scripture, that contain the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And as such, we need to be vessels where the power of God lives through us so that others can see Christ in us. Christ's light shines through us. And that should be a critical part of our message. We are to be the message. And as people look at us, they need to see who? They don't need to see Raymond. They need to see Christ. That's right. They need to see Jesus Christ shining clearly through that. And to better do that, we are always in the process of being molded, being shaped into his image. That's what the potter does. And God is more interested in our character than he is in our comfort. So therefore, he's always molding away. He's taking away all those rough edges in our character that don't look like Jesus. And so he's making us more like his son. That's his goal as the potter. But the problem is real evident here because in verse 4 it says the clay was being marred. So there was something in the clay that was hindering it from being molded. So now, if you think about that, your mind may immediately go to something really big. You go, well, there's some big sin in their life. There's some really big something, you know, and it doesn't have to be really big somethings. It can be something so small as an attitude of uncooperativeness. You say, I'm not going to cooperate with God. I'm not willing to be molded. I think I'm fine just like I am. It can be something that small. We think we have a better idea, so we want to get off the wheel and be the potter rather than the clay, or just be a good enough pot. Just be a good enough vessel rather than what he desires. But sticking with that metaphor of the clay, what else causes the clay to be marred? Well, maybe it's too hard. The heart has been hardened. It's too dry. It's spiritually thirsty, dry. It's not moldable. And sometimes we're like that. When God calls us to obey, our hearts have become hardened, maybe from pain or experience or suffering, and we've hardened our hearts. I love a story of a seminary professor who was asked to preach at a large African-American Baptist convention. This guy was, I don't want to promote a stereotype, but he was a little stiff. I mean, he was a little bit formal in his approach to life and church. And so he goes to this convention, and it's like revival. I mean, they're praising God, they're worshiping, they're singing. And he said the music was just amazing. The worship was just amazing. He was astounded by that. And he was somewhat transfixed by this large gentleman, 6'4", he guesstimated, and had very commanding presence. He fashioned him to be some sort of worship leader. And he said at one point this man said, everybody just stop. Stop what you're doing. He said, I want everybody to say yes. And the crowd responded, he said, I want everybody to say yes. And the crowd said, yes. And this went on for like 5 minutes. Each time getting louder and louder and louder. And when they got to the pinnacle, he said, stop right here. Lord, Lord, bless our speaker. We've given you our answer. Now, through him, tell us what it is you want us to do. Yeah, the professor said, man, I preached from my toenails that day, but he said, I was exhausted when I got through with that sermon. But you know, in the spectrum of things, that's the spirit God wants us to have. Yes. Whatever it is, Lord, yes. Just say it. Yes. Just show me. Teach me through somebody else. Whatever it is, Lord, yes. Don't have a hardened heart. Have an open, tender, receptive heart. How else can the clay be marred? Well, maybe it has too little consistency, which is kind of the opposite of the too hard, you know? Maybe it's too moist. Maybe it forms and shapes, but then it just kind of comes apart on you. It kind of sags down. It doesn't hold its shape. Maybe there's too little consistency because there's no conviction there. Our youth at camp this summer learned that consistency comes from the ingredients of our walk with Christ, the daily disciplines that help us grow closer to him and more like him. Never ever let anybody convince you that Bible study is not important or beneficial. Never ever let anybody convince you that prayer doesn't matter or that fellowshipping with fellow believers doesn't really matter or help you. They do. They're ingredients for the consistency that we need in our walk with Christ. It's what helps us grow. It's what helps us strengthen our walk with Christ. There may be other reasons that the clay is marred, but let me stop with this last one, and that is There may be a foreign body. There may be a little pebble. There may be a grain of sand. There may be some little something in there that when the potter's hands fashion around the pot and it's spinning there, this imperfection, this little something, this little hidden something comes to the surface and scratches the outside of the pot, changes the shape. That hidden pebble, we'll call it maybe a hidden sin. And I understand we're all marred in that way. We all have mistakes. We all have sins. We all have regrets. I get that. We all have mars, and so it doesn't stop the plan of God. Did you hear that? We all have mars, so it doesn't stop the plan of God. This passage reminds us that because the pot was marred, the potter formed it into another vessel. The pot was messed up, but the potter said, that's okay. I can take this mess and I can turn it into a miracle, a beautiful vessel. And that's exactly what God does. He is the God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, however many chances we need. God says, when you mess up, I'm not going to throw you out. I'm not going to throw you out. I'm going to take you and I'm going to remold you and I'm going to remake you because that's what I do. I am the potter. You are the clay. I am the remaker. I am the rebuilder. I am the restorer. I am the God of second chances. And that's what God does for us. He doesn't toss us aside. He reforms us, remakes us into a beautiful creation, a vessel to house His Spirit. I am so thankful. Would you pray with me? Dear God, I know that You know what's best for me. We know, Father, that You know what's best for us. And so we say yes right now. We say yes. We want to obey You, Father. Now show us. Show us what it is that You want us to do. And I know that You'll reveal it to us. And when You open those doors, Father, give us by Your power and Your strength, give us the courage, give us the boldness, give us the compassion to step through those doors that You've opened and be usable for You, for Your glory. And Father, we pray for Your strength as we seek to be more consistent in our walk with You, that we are people of strong conviction and disciplines that make us more like Your Son as we walk daily with You. Father, we also pray that You would forgive us of the sin that separates us from You, that You will cleanse us, that You will make us a clean vessel that will be fully usable by You. And we thank You, Father, that You are a God of second chances, that You forgive our sins as we confess them to You, that You take those sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to beat us over the head with them again, never to remind us to put us in our place, but always to encourage us. You take those and cast them away, forgive us, and make us new, beautiful vessels again. God, we thank You. We thank You that You are God and that we're not. That You are the potter and we are the clay. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. This morning, if you're here and you do not have that relationship with your Creator through Jesus Christ, if you're still trying to figure out what it means to have purpose in life, let me challenge you. Without a relationship with the God who created you through His Son, Jesus Christ, you will not discover your purpose in life. Everything you discover will be a cheap imitation of what God really desires for you. It starts with your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And in a moment, we're going to stand and sing, and I'll be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. If you don't want to come down here, call me this week because we need to get that settled. That's the most important decision you ever make in your life. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but man, I'm fighting, I'm pushing back against God. There's so many times when I want to be the potter, we all have those moments. Just square that with God. You can talk to Him right where you are. Our altar will be open here if you want to pray, or I'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you. If you're here and you'd like to be a member at College Park, there's many ways we receive members. Be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Remain standing for just a moment. I want to introduce to you, for those of you that have not had the joy of meeting Sarah Knopf, if you would join me up here, Sarah. She is coming this morning to join by Watch Care, and I'm delighted. We've been talking back and forth and about her decision, and she's excited. We're excited to have her as part of this congregation. If you would encourage her and pray for her, as we say, invite her out to supper and all those things, would you join me in saying amen? Fantastic. I invite you to come by at the conclusion of the service after the benediction and the response and speak a word to her, a word of encouragement. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we go from this place, we know that you walk with us, that you walk there beside us. Help us to acknowledge and to recognize all that you place before us, the opportunities that you're going to give us to be the message this week. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.